I'd now ask that you give our brother Glenn your careful and your prayerful attention.
Well, thank you, Bob, and good evening, everyone. Tonight, I only have a few scriptures, what I believe is a simple message, and maybe in answer to the prayers, or at least a few, maybe a short message tonight. The main verse, or the main verses that I'd like to use tonight are found in the fourth chapter of Joshua, for those of you that like to follow along. In the fourth chapter of Joshua, I'm going to start with the first verse. And to understand this, the Israelites have been led out of Egypt. They've wandered the 40 years in the wilderness. They're now ready to go into the lands that the Lord has promised them. But in order to do that, this river stands in the way, the Jordan River, and they're going to have to cross it. Miraculously, we find that, like the parting of the Red Sea, although the Red Sea was larger in size, that again, the Lord will separate that barrier that separates His people from that which He has promised to them. And so in the fourth chapter of Joshua, we find that they're crossing over the Jordan into the land that has been promised to them. And starting here, Joshua 4, the first verse, it says, "And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, one out of every tribe, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." Now, I have to tell you, after all the time I've spent trying to study and to figure out Isaiah for our Sunday school class, I really like things like this that are simple and easy to figure out. I know what they did, I know how they accomplished it, and I know the reason for it. All concise. But I want us to think about this scripture for a moment, because I came to a realization in my life, and hopefully it'll be of some benefit to everyone here tonight. There was a purpose for this. We'll talk about that in a little while, but and I'll get back to the scripture. But this scripture was kind of impressed upon me during some self-analysis, some realization on my part. I don't know how much is nature or circumstances. You know, you can argue that in psychology classes all day long, how much of what we are. Because we are influenced to some degree by things around us. I mean, there's no question about it. Scripture's warned that, about the influence that society has upon us. And so, how much of us is our personal nature? How much is the influence that we succumb to? But whatever the thing is, I'm a pack rat. You know, I keep all kinds of things. Some of them, you know, there's a purpose. I think that someday I might use it. It has a function. I don't need it right now, but you never know when the day is going to come when I might need this for whatever it is. But there's a lot of it that's just junk. It has no value whatsoever. If I brought it over to the yard sale here that they had, you know, they'd be hauling up to the junk, to the junkyard or the dump, because no one would have bought it. But it's hard for me to part with. And the realization I came to is because some time ago I was trying to kind of clean out some of the stuff, and so I had to kind of go through it. And to understand my particular situation is, you know, as I was growing up, because of circumstances, not by necessarily choice of my parents, but circumstances with employment and things, my parents had to move frequently. And as a result, I moved several times as going through school. When we moved here, we started going to high school, and I made some friends, but, you know, after graduation, kind of went their separate ways, and I start employment, and I made some friends there. But in all honesty, after my conversion to the gospel, accepting Christ, my lifestyle changed. And out of all those, there's only one that I really kind of keep in contact with periodically. And now that I'm not in that job at all, I'm in a new employment. And the point is that I have my life. I have no long-term relationships. I mean, there's no one I know that I can talk to. Do you remember when? Go all the way back to my childhood. I mean, there's no one that I can sit around and I can reminisce with. You know, when you remember when we were four? You remember when we were so on? And so as a result, I keep things. They're absolutely useless. But when I pick them up, I remember something. I remember a person. I remember a place. I remember an event. They're kind of my history. And the important thing I want you to remember and to understand in this, that we all do have different ways of doing that. I mean, some people, you have lifelong friends that you grew up together, and you'll sit and talk, and you'll go through some same process. But this is the way I find. I have these boxes of things that just, I remember something with it. And so when I was going through it, you know, some of these things, I look at all the stuff. I mean, it's just cluttered. I'm trying to go through with it. But I remember when I picked up some of these things, it brought memories to me that I hadn't thought about for years, and I don't know if I ever would have remembered if I hadn't been going through some of this junk. And yet the memory's still there. I mean, I know these things, but I hadn't thought about it. I don't know if it was upon my own I ever would have, the recollection would have come to me. But I look at something, and it comes back. And with that, there's a couple things. I'd like to kind of, this is kind of side note outside of my theme tonight, but I would like to encourage everyone here. We live in a time of high technology. I mean, things are changing. There's emails and text messaging and all that. And I would like to encourage everyone here, and especially parents, those of you that have children, I would, you know, no matter how old they are, you know, I would like to encourage everyone here to periodically, in this time of high tech emails, text messages, take some time, sit down, and write a note to someone that's important to you. And if you're the person receiving that, keep some of those things, because there's somehow something that's actually written in that person's hand when they're gone. It brings a whole lot more memories, and it has a lot more emotion to it than just a computer-generated piece of paper, you know? Because I had some things from my dad and other members of my family I went through and stuff, and there's something about just looking at that you, their actual handwriting. It means more. But I want to tie this in with this idea of things that we do to help us to remember. Because by our nature, we tend to be forgetful. We remember a lot of the very major, important, life-changing events, you know, that probably must have been a serious accident, you remember this, some major thing. But a lot of the everyday, normal routines of life, they just kind of get lost in the clutter of our minds and our recollection. And God understands that. That was the purpose there, remember, that they would remember and their children would remember, that there would be something tangible that when you looked on it, those that were there would remember because they were the ones that actually walked across there. When their children ask about it, they would remember, oh, yeah, let me tell you the story. It wasn't anything new. The Israelites had many things that God had asked them to do for remembrance, so things that God had done wouldn't be forgotten. The Passover, the various feasts they had, any number of things God put there to keep his people in remembrance. That there would be something tangible there that would stir some type of memory and an emotion. Our service this morning, that's why we came. It was a service of remembrance, something tangible, something that we do the first Sunday of every month and then on a few other special occasions during the year at reunions and things. But we had our sacrament service this morning. And in the very prayer that's offered over the emblems or the bread and wine, part of it is to help us to remember. I'd like to read that, for the prayer of the bread and the prayer of the wine. That's what it says. It says, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his spirit to be with them. And then over the wine, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them. That they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his spirit to be with them. And so when we come to a service like we did this morning, what are some of the things that we remember? I mean, we've come, that's why we came this morning, to renew a covenant that we made, to remember that covenant, to remember some things. I mean, probably we think of certainly Christ's death. Hopefully we think of the tremendous love of God the Father that would allow the sacrifice of His Son. Hopefully we think that the love that His Son, Jesus Christ, had, that He would go through that for us. Hopefully the realization of the forgiveness that comes through there, the plan of salvation. I don't see how, if you're really honest, when we think about it, we can't think about His death, about the crucifixion, the things that He went through to be that offering for us. That's what we went through this morning, to remember those things, to remember that sacrifice, and to remember its purpose, and to remember its place in our lives, that we don't forget that. But there's something else that's equally important. That's equally important that we try to remember. And that is His resurrection. His resurrection is every bit. As a matter of fact, to those of His family that are part of the bride, that's the whole purpose for it. The rest wouldn't mean any difference if we don't have the hope of eternal life. If all we have is this life that we have right here, the rest would be of very little value. And why is it important that we remember His resurrection? Probably the first thing you think of is, you know, the hope of eternal life, that He overcame death, and we now have that opportunity. We have that opportunity to overcome death and have the opportunity to spend eternity with God the Father in His heavenly kingdom and all that that entails. But more tangible in our life on an everyday basis is resurrection. It means that He is alive. He is alive today. And that means that as much as we permit Him, He can be active in our lives. His work didn't end at the cross. By His resurrection and overcoming death and the promises to be fulfilled, we know that He is alive. And He is active. We have heard many testimonies of His workings among individuals sitting right here in this room. Testimonies of blessings that have been received, answers to prayers, miracles. He has spoke in gatherings in this very room. We have our prayer services, and typically after a season of prayer, we have a time for how the Spirit leads, but, you know, testimonies that individuals can stand up and talk about things that the Lord has done in their lives. But I'd like us to think tonight, what do you do in your life to make sure that you remember the very simple little things that tell us that Jesus is alive and He's working in your life. Not the person sitting next to you, the person behind you, not the testimony of her or something He did X number of years ago in another location of time, but in your own personal life. We tend to remember the really big ones, you know, the the big testimonies, if you will. I mean, frequently we hear individuals say, you know, I know this is only a small blessing, or it's only, you know, a small testimony. But really, the small ones, if we think of them that way, that it's the everyday workings in our life that really are our relationship with our Lord. That He's there. He's a part of our life. And so tonight, I'd like us to consider, you know, do you do something to help you to remember those little things that you see happening that you know is the Holy Spirit working, that you know is the Holy Spirit talking to you, that you know is the Lord working in your life? Whether it's a journal, you write it down, or if it's something that happens, some tangible material thing that's involved in it that you set aside or something, that those, as we think of small and those little seemingly insignificant things, don't get forgotten. Because I can tell you, some of the more major experiences I've had in my life, I have written down. And when I go back to read it, almost invariably, I have forgotten something or I don't remember it quite the way it really was. And that's where the danger comes in. When we don't actually do something to make ourselves have something tangible, we can look at and we can remember what the Lord's done. Because when things are going difficult and we get in those, I think we're all prone to it in varying degrees, those states of depression where things are really tough and you don't, you know, your spiritual life's under attack. Some struggle with it more than others. Some it lasts longer. But I think probably everyone at some point in varying degrees have those times in their lives where things are a little bit more difficult. But wouldn't it be much easier if you had something tangible that you know is there than those hard times, whether I said, well, it's a journal, a little box, you keep something as a memento, where you're in those times of trial, you sit down and you look, and, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember another difficult time in my life, and the Lord got me through that. I remember these things. You know, it could be a good experience. It could be coming through a trial, a past experience that you know you've been in a difficult time before and you know the Lord helps you get through it. Because we have them all. But if we forget them, they're no longer of any value. Let's go back and consider the scripture that we're looking at here in Joshua. The individuals here, The individuals here were born in the wilderness. Their parents, because they hadn't gone in, had all perished with the exception of two, Joshua and one other, were the only two from the original group that were going to actually go into the land as promised them. Not even Moses was going to see the land that he had led his people to. These are individuals that were going now being asked to do something that their parents weren't able to do, that their parents were fearful of and were not able to accomplish. They knew that when they got to the other side of the river, there was going to be a land promised to them, but they were going to obtain it through battle. That was part of the fear of their parents because they didn't think that they could conquer in battle these individuals that they were going to come in conflict with. If we back up a chapter in Joshua, we find, you know, the Jordan River, which is a sizable river to start with in the first place, that they're going to cross in a time of flood. It tells us in Joshua 3:15, it says, "And they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all its banks all the time of harvest." The Jordan's in a state of flood. If you've seen the news and staying in these places, these floodwaters, you know, ravaging through these cities and these towns and knocking down trees and things, you know, the Jordan is not this little flowing, little nice little stream. It's a raging torrent. But crossing that river was just the start. They were going to have any numbers of nations and peoples that they were going to have to conquer in battle. But God had promised them that they would be victorious. God had promised them that they were going to obtain that land. God had promised them that they were going to be a nation. God had promised them that He would be in their midst. And this was the first step. They were going to see something miraculous occur, the parting of this river. And they were going to, or they were ordered to take things with them, 12 stones, then remembrance. If God can do that, He most certainly could make them victorious in battle. All those across there were going to see this raging torrent of water. The water held back while they crossed across. And they were going to have something in memory. The times are tough. Maybe things are, they're in battle and it's not looking good. But there's always going to be that memorial there that God had done this in the past. He promised. That's what God had promised. He had told them that is what He's going to do. And He did it. And He had promised them that He was going to make them victorious in battle. They could remember what God had done to strengthen them for what God was asking them to do. So I ask you a simple question tonight. If you feel that you are not growing in your spiritual walk, if you feel that you know the Spirit isn't touching you or speaking to you as much as it has in the past or as much as you think it should or as much as you like, think back. Can you remember what God has already done in your life? Or has become kind of a blur? Have you just kind of moved on and forgotten what God has done to get you this far? If that's the case, I'm asking tonight that you start actually making some tangible effort in some way to record or document the things that God does. That sometime when you're feeling those same time emotions, you can look back and hopefully have this overwhelming evidence of the time that God has been with you, the things that God has got you through, the things that God has helped you accomplish. And when you look at the promises, you know, we many times in our studies and other sermon stuff, we've talked about the things that what used to be this little church, in comparison to the many of the world churches today, we're still small, but we are huge compared to what we were when I entered in, which wasn't that long ago. And for what many of them here longer, for as long as they were in the church, this small little church of a couple thousand people sitting here in the United States. Now, how many continents are we on? How many nations? And how many languages are we printing our materials in? And the promises are that more is going to be done. That it's going to go beyond where we're at now. And that can seem overwhelming. But to those Israelites, that battle they're going to could have seemed overwhelming. But God started them off with some miraculous things. Their parents saw even greater things. But they didn't remember. Remember how quickly things happened? They started to murmur and they started to turn away. They were quick to forget. They are quick to forget. And we tend to be that same way. We're always kind of looking ahead and we tend to forget things, particularly things that we don't think are that big of a deal. So I'd like to ask you tonight, do you have a stone in your life? Just one. Do you have one stone in your life? Something that you can look at that's going to bring you to remember something like God. And I'm not talking about, you know, we talk about Christ being the cornerstone. We all have that. I'm talking like this thing here. We're talking about something in your life that you have that helps you remember the Lord working in your life. Do you have stones? More than one. And do you have a desire to build a mountain? That sometime, I mean, I'm using the stone as an example, whatever it is, a journal or some memento, but if like the example of this stone here, that all of a sudden, when things are going tough, things look like it can't be done, and you don't see how you can accomplish things, and all of a sudden you turn around and, whoa! I can't even count how many. I remember this one when I couldn't find a job and the Lord directed. Oh, this one, I remember when the car broke down and I know it wasn't. All of a sudden, this nice gentleman came along and he drove me, 150 miles to get where I was. Oh, I remember the time. And on and on, the things. You know, we hear them over and over in our testimony services and stuff. Do you do something to keep them in your memory? Because as I said, just in the temporal things of life, when I sat down and I started going through some of these things, it brought back memories that I hadn't thought about in years, decades. I hate to admit how old I am, but, you know. I had some little things in there from, I'd kept from in grade school that I remembered friends that I had then. Haven't seen them in decades. I don't know where they're at or what they're doing. But that simple little thing brought it all back. And so my message is simple tonight. God is working in our lives. But are we making the effort to try to remember what He's doing? Because if we aren't, we are doomed to fail. That's what happened to their parents in the wilderness. They forgot what God had done. And because of that, they didn't have any faith and confidence in what He was asking them to do. They didn't remember that He brought them out of Egypt. He parted the Red Sea. They forgot watching the Pharaoh's army perish in there. They forgot about being fed by manna in the wilderness. They forgot and forgot and forgot and forgot. And suddenly, all God's asking them to do after all those miraculous things is go across and take this land. And they went, oh, those people are kind of big. I don't know about that. But God had proven to them that He can do it and that He would keep their word. All they had to do is remember, and that's where we're at. If we can remember the simple things that God's done in our life, it will strengthen us for the great things. If we can remember the trials that He's got us through in the past, it'll help us that much more to get through the trials and the turmoil that face us in the future. So it's a simple message. I just ask tonight that you consciously try to think of the things that have happened. In some way, find some way you can document it. And in the future, try to do the same. That actively in each of your own individual lives, you have stones of remembrance. Things that are a memorial to the workings of the Lord in your life. Something very tangible that when depression, when Satan, when opposition wants to draw your mind away, something you can look at and say, oh, I've been in a worse situation than this, and the Lord got me through that. I remember the Lord promised He was going to do this. I remember He answered a prayer and He's accomplished, and I know it from the past. He's proven to me that He can and He will do this, and I can get through this again. That's the short message that I have this evening. For those of you who were here last week, our brother Andrew, he's talked oftentimes about trying the length of his sermon. He went the full length. And so to rise to the occasion, I'm going to be short tonight.